All right, everybody, welcome back. If we're counting correctly, this is episode 37 of the Strength Academy podcast. Grayson here, joined by Mundo.
Yo, what's up, y'all?
All right, guys, so today we're going to start things off with kind of a discussion about all things strength. So we're going to try to dissect just the role of absolute strength within weightlifting and the different camps and ideas kind of around how important that absolute strength marker is going to be. So to kick things off, Mundo, what do you think? How important, what percentage of weightlifting success comes from just being strong?
I would say 85 to 90%.
Okay, yeah.
Because here's the reality for me, and from my point of view, is the stronger you are, the more you're going to be able to lift. And I've seen people lift things with terrible technique, and I've seen some elite weightlifters get away with some, you know, maybe some unideal technical aspects of their lifts, but strong enough to pull it off. So I think that the stronger you are, the stronger your lifts are going to be. So, like, one thing that we kind of say, or I'll say a lot, is like strong legs, strong lifts. The stronger your legs are, the stronger your lifts are going to be. Like, the more you squat, the more you are able to hold over your head, the stronger that's going to translate over into your lifts. And as long as you're technically trying to keep up with your strength, I think that you can make way more progress just being strong than if you only focus on technique. Because you can have a really great snatch and a really great jerk and have really good technique in those two things, but if you're not getting stronger, then what, I mean, you're not going to make a whole lot more progress, because like at a certain point you have to be stronger to lift more weight, but it also coincides with technique. So like if you can bring them both up at the same time, then you have an elite weightlifter. But if you only bring up one and only maximize the potential of one thing, then you're limiting yourself in the other one. But I think the big thing is strength. So like if you're strong, you can lift more weight. And sometimes, you know, you do watch some people on, you know, some of these videos, whether it's hook grip or All Things Gym, where they get away with some of these inconsistencies in technique, but it's because they're so strong, they're able to manipulate that weight in the position that they want it to be in.
Yeah, so I think a good like kind of summary of some of this is that, you know, if you can't snatch deadlift 110, you certainly can't snatch it. So you have to be able to squat the weight that you eventually want to clean and jerk, and you have to be able to deadlift the weight. Otherwise, there's just no way that you're going to be able to get it into the correct position. So I think that, yeah, I'm not sure if I could put an exact percentage on it, but I think that especially at a certain level, the pursuit of strength needs to really be, especially once, the caveat here is that if technique is solidified as well. Because once there's, if we accept the fact that nobody's ever going to have perfect technique, there's never going to be somebody that executes everything exactly the way that it's supposed to be done. We're all constantly trying to improve, and once it's good enough, the difference between person A and person B, if they have the same level of technical proficiency, if person B can squat 50 more kilos, they're probably clean and jerking more. And I think that on some level, it's very simple that way, in that you definitely need to have a strong pull and a strong squat in order to do bigger weights.
Yeah.
So I think that you always kind of need to be pushing on your strength to some degree. But an area where that might not be the case is if you're not squatting correctly. So if you're really, so this is kind of one of the questions I wanted to iron out here is, do you think it matters more the total weight that you squat, or does it matter more your rate of force development within the squat? So how fast you can squat the weight? Because I don't know if slow, grindy squats, like, you know, really, really, really struggling on the way up, taking 3 seconds to stand, that sort of thing. I'm not really sure where, how important that low end, super maximal squatting is important, you know? Because if you're not moving down in this, in to the right position, or you're getting bent over and you're using more of your back than your quads, so it's got to be at least a little bit how you're doing. You got to be strong in the right positions.
Yeah.
And I think that people get caught up sometimes if they kind of lean too far into that pure strength is the indicator of progress. They'll start doing things like shorting their depth a little bit or wrapping their knees extra tight to get 5 more kilos. But if they're really struggling with those weights and they're not moving at kind of an Olympic lifting tempo, then I think that some of those things might be a little bit less important. But then again, it is kind of all about strength. So that's kind of where I have this, you know, inner conflict where it's, yeah, we want, you know, of course, to clean and jerk 400 pounds, you need to be able to deadlift 500 pounds.
Right.
Like you're gonna need to. But does that come as a result of training with correct positions and moving through things straight away? So like if you start out day one and you learn how to snatch and you learn how to clean and jerk, should you be pushing your squat as hard as you possibly can while you're learning the lifts? Or should you be taking time to let yourself kind of be at that weaker weight and work on moving the weights faster and getting your technique down so that you... Because what ends up happening sometimes I see with people that are trying to learn is if you come in and you're already really strong, but your positions aren't quite right, sometimes being too strong can be a bit of a detriment to the learning process because it's so easy to power things instead of do the full lifts.
Yeah, that's true. You know, I think maybe I'll change my idea then, because I think it has to go side by side. Strength and technique have to go side by side. And there can't be too much of a deficiency in one or the other, because if you're very strong technically but you're weak, like let's say you snatch 40, and if that's all you push yourself toward is that perfect position every single time, how do you know what your true max is going to be? And if you are on the other side where it's just like, oh yeah, you can snatch, you know, 80 kilos, but it looks like trash every time, and you just keep reinforcing it by trying to snatch that weight in those postures, like those are extremes. Like we don't want to be on either end of that spectrum. We want to be somewhere in the middle where we're technically proficient and we're strong. So if we break it down into what's the most important thing, I think position is the most important thing. Posture, position, and if you're able to maintain the right positions with the right posture, that's going to translate to more strength and better technique overall. So I would say like it goes position, then the movement, right, and then speed, and then maybe like the actual, you know, the lift, the whole thing put together, like the gestalt of it. But like I think position is more important. So you have to be strong in a specific position and then translate that into moving well in those positions, through those positions, and then make those positions fast. So I think that if you squat and you have a strong squat, the reason your squat is strong is because you're moving in a good position, right? Or if you have a technically sound squat, then that's going to translate to the clean and the overhead squat, which are going to be able to help you lift more weight. So like if you have like bad overhead mobility and you're not able to, because here's the thing, let's say you can get a snatch that's 20 kilos over your PR, but you can't stand it up. Like is it possible to hit a PR squat in an Olympic lift without ever having squatted that weight before?
I mean, I've heard of it happening, but it's not likely.
Yeah, it's like a rarity, and usually it's because maybe they are strong enough, but they're just technically not there. So, like, the chances of you hitting a new clean PR without having squatted the weight before and squatted it in a good position are very, very low. I'm not saying it doesn't ever happen, because I'm sure it does. But, like, you want to be able to build up the right positions in the technique that that is ideal, going to be translated into those lifts. So I think that it's important to be strong, but it's also important to be strong in the right position. So I guess that would be the caveat for me, is just like, yeah, strength is really important. Strength matters. Strength is going to increase your lifts. It's going to make you a better lifter, but it has to be strength in the correct positions and in the proper, you know, posture and movement.
Yeah. Cause I think a good example of that is if, you know, you're really pushing on your deadlift and you're trying to get that number to go up, but your upper back position is not the same as the position you need for your clean. You're going to have the increased strength there, but a lot of times it seems like people default to their strongest position. Right. And this is one of the, you know, kind of classic arguments against the use of a low bar squat for weightlifting, is that if you're strongest position is a forward lean with kind of more of a sit back than a sit down, then that might be the position you default to when trying to receive a heavy weight. And I know that that's not as simple as that, because of course you can train different motor patterns and have them kind of bracketed. And I think that if you're, you know, low bar squatting once a week and front squatting twice a week, you're probably going to be fine. But that's one of the main arguments against that, or one of the reasons we tend to do clean position and snatch position deadlifts rather than doing
conventional
deadlifts, yeah, or sumo deadlifts or any of those sort of things, because we want to see that the weight on the bar is going up, and we want to see that the strength is improving on those, but we want to make sure that it's within the range of positions that we deem acceptable. And that's not to say that there is never a time to lift to the point that something deviates, because I think that if you're pushing your strength and you have a grindy squat or a front squat where the shoulders roll forward a little bit and you have to really fight to stand it back up, I think learning to fight with weights is a really important reason to train heavy in the strength exercises. So I think, you know, you can, and I think we've all kind of looked at programs where you see it and there's lots of 70% squats and not much difficulty there. And I think that that's kind of a detriment, because I think that part of using a heavy clean position deadlift or a heavy front squat or a heavy back squat is you have to learn to be able to fight for your position, because things aren't always going to be perfect
right. When
you do the lift. So if you can pull close to your snatch positions 50 kilos above what you're trying to get, if you get a little out of position on your snatch, you're going to have a greater chance of being able to correct that. But where I kind of think that, you know, so one of the other kind of ways of approaching this strength versus technique is if you're looking at, you know, ratios. So, you know, that age old, you know, your back squat should be 130% of your clean and jerk, and, you know, these sort of things where, you know, those sort of ratios. And if you guys haven't checked out, Waxman's Gym has a squat as a lift ratio algorithm thing that you can put in. So you can put in all of your numbers and it'll tell you what they kind of think is the general guideline. So, you know, obviously if you're, and I think that sometimes looking at those ratios kind of allows you to decide where to push. Because if somebody's squatting 180% of their max clean, yeah, for 10 years down the line, their squat's going to need to go up from where it is right now. But it's not the highest priority at the moment because it's clearly a technical thing that's limiting them. There's something wrong with the clean if there's that big of a gap.
Right.
But I don't know if you should be trying to always stay within ratio. You know what I mean? Because I think that, you know, especially early on, if you're trying to get somewhere, strength takes a really long time to develop. And especially like elite level strength. And I think that you always have to be working on it, but it's really difficult to find the correct balance between, you know, making sure that you're not doing a squat program with some Olympic lifting.
Yeah.
Or a deadlift program with some Olympic lifting versus doing a weightlifting program with squats and deadlifts. And I feel like that's a mistake that I definitely made early on, was maybe prioritizing a little bit too much of just get your squat up, but not putting, because as you're doing more and more grueling squat workouts, the amount of energy and time that you have to dedicate to technically proficient training sessions kind of starts to go down. Or if you're constantly grinding heavy fives in the squat, like say you've been running Texas Method for a year straight or something,
right, yeah.
You know, and that, you know, 5x5 squat workout is within an inch of failure every single time, then you're going to be so beat up that you might not have the energy to adapt to your snatch and clean and jerk. So I think that finding a balance is really important. But within that, kind of, if we look at specific exercises, like, do you think that it's more important to drive the strength increase in your snatch and clean deadlift or in your snatch and clean pull?
So the exercises are very closely related, except that one is, I think, adding a bit of more explosiveness to it than the other one possibly. Plus, so I think it would be better to add more strength to the pull. And here's why. The deadlift is kind of like a balance bar proximity exercise. You're pulling, you're trying to keep the body in weight with the balance, the bar, and the body in balance with the weight. And it's also teaching correct posture, yes, but I think with the pull, it's more closely related to the actual movement, so that driving against the floor, letting the arms come up, staying relaxed in the pull, all those are factors that are going to translate directly into the actual lift. So I think it would be better to be stronger in the pull mechanics than just the deadlift. Now, like I said, both have their place and both can increase strength, but I think that the pull has more carryover. So if you were stronger in a pull and in the mechanics of the pull than you were in the deadlift, I think that would have like a better impact on your lifting overall.
Yeah, I think if you're looking at specificity as it applies to like what you get, what you put in.
Right.
And I think that doing the method that I've been using a lot lately is including deadlifts more for higher reps early on, and building up the strength for repetition, so five reps, six reps, something like that. Improving the positions in the deadlift where it's much more controlled, because I think we've all seen people try to do high rep pulls and they end up being really, really sloppy.
Yeah.
So one of the methods that I've been using that it seems to be working fairly well for our guys is including for maybe the first 8 weeks doing deadlifts and pushing the weight on the deadlift and forcing people to hold that position or lower the bar slowly, all of these different ways that you can build extra strength, and then transitioning that to doing heavier reps or heavier weights for lower reps when we start moving into the pull. And they've got better endurance built up from their deadlifts, and they've got some kind of baseline strength built up that you can then try to layer explosiveness on top of.
Yeah.
I think that tends to work pretty well, because I think you always want to be doing the most specific thing, and you always want to be sticking pretty close. Like if you're doing 10 rep complexes, 3 weeks out from a meet, there's a error in specificity there.
Yeah.
And one thing that we always try to keep in mind when we're kind of writing for people or working with this is, what are our biggest bang for the buck exercises?
Yeah.
So one that kind of is a correlate. So if you look at the snatch deadlift or the back squat, the jerk equivalent would be something like the strict shoulder press. But I'm kind of skeptical about how good a shoulder press really needs to be in order to jerk well. And yeah, do you have any kind of thoughts on that? Because clearly the deadlift and the squat are not that specific, but right. are the slow strength exercises for lower body that we look at.
Right.
But we do a ton more of those than we do shoulder pressing.
Yeah.
And so why do you think that it's less important to be doing the jerk equivalent of a pull or deadlift? Maybe the jerk equivalent of a pull would be a push press. But
push press, yeah. Maybe, yeah.
And I think that... So why do you think that the shoulder press just doesn't seem to be an indicator of jerk performance the way that a deadlift or a squat is an indicator of performance in the classic lifts?
Well, I think that part of it is that with the jerk, and it goes along with the power jerk and maybe even the push press, is that it's a leg exercise almost more than it is an arm exercise. So you have to have the muscle structure to be able to support whatever weight you have over your head, yes, but I don't think that you have to have just the upper body strength to press something that you can jerk. So now that's obvious, but I mean, the reality is that if you can probably press 60 kilos but jerk 120, right? There's just because you can press a certain weight or can't press a certain weight doesn't necessarily translate over into the jerk, because it's a dynamic exercise that involves the entire body. Whereas the press just involves the upper body and just a single range of motion from the shoulders just to that overhead position. So the jerk involves the legs, it involves the trunk, it involves the shoulders and the arms. So you're able to generate a lot more force using all those things as opposed to just one part of your body and then that short range of motion. It's just like a push-up and a bench press. They're two different exercises, and you know, you can do a push-up halfway, like to parallel, or you can do that full all the way to the floor, chest to the deck range of motion, where a bench press would be. So like a push-up isn't necessarily indicative of how much you're able to bench press.
Yeah.
So like that's how I correlate it, is because like a press isn't indicative of how much you're able to jerk. It's just a strength exercise that we use to increase that upper body musculature and increase the stability of the upper body musculature. So I don't think it has a direct correlation with how much you jerk or how much you don't jerk. So like Tyler, for instance, I'm pretty sure he skipped out on pressing for a good portion of his training cycles, but he's able to jerk 170, but I'm pretty sure he probably couldn't press more than 80 kilos.
Yeah, and I think that when looking at the press, it kind of comes back to that, you know, the specific nature of the exercise, where the deadlift, the tempo might be different, but all of the positions are the same.
Right.
And all of the difficulty in the positions are the same. It's the hardest to maintain your position at the knee. It gets easier as you stand up. That's the same in the snatch as well. Like the portions of the deadlift and the portions of the squat that are difficult are usually the same positions that are difficult within your classic lifts.
Yeah.
But with the press, the most difficult part of... Nobody ever misses a press at lockout.
Right.
It's... You can either press it or it doesn't get past your nose. So with the press, the most difficult portion of that range of motion is the first few inches, generating the momentum. But that part is non-existent within the jerk because the legs are taking care of that area.
Right.
So I think that as far as if you're looking for strength development, you want to get a good baseline. Like you shouldn't, you know, not be able to press anything, because you clearly need to be able to press a little bit. And if you look at guys like Mart Saim, that dude can press
a ton
of weight, and he does it quite a bit, and it clearly helps him out.
Yeah, and I'm not saying that the exercise doesn't have value. I'm just saying that it doesn't have necessarily a specific correlation with what you're able to do in the jerk.
But I would say that something like the push press, where the difficult part of the push press is the lockout.
Right.
And that's the part of the jerk that people struggle with, is if you're not able to lock out quickly and efficiently. So I would say that maybe even if you're going to train strict pressing, this might be kind of a fun experiment to run, but set yourself up in a power rack with the bar, and it's just the last 5 inches of the lockout, standing underneath the bar with it over your head onto the pins, and doing pin presses from forehead height might actually be a better way to develop strength for your lockout and your jerk. But even that's an extra step, because you can just as easily just do push presses.
Right.
So I think that, you know, as far as upper body strength driving, you know, how much you can push press is going to be a much better indicator of where your jerk's at. And I think, you know, the shoulder press is one of those standard strength exercises that to jerk 400 pounds, you don't need to press 300 pounds. That's just not, I don't think that that's within normal, normal range there.
So I kind of want to revisit something. I don't know if I touched on it or not. So when we're talking about strength and then force production, so just because you can squat a weight doesn't mean that you're necessarily squatting it efficiently and with enough force production to make it carry over into your Olympic lift very well. So like, if you, let's just take 100 kilos because it's easy to do math on. If you squat 100 kilos but you grind it out, it takes 10 seconds for you to stand it up. That is a different squat than if you do it the same 100 kilo squat in 2 seconds, down, up. So
in it's the rate that you're producing for us.
So when we're talking about, when I'm talking about strength and strength versus like force production, I want people to be able to stand up a weight without it being grindy. Like the less grindy it is, the better off it's going to be. Because if every time you do 100 kilos for a clean and you take 5 seconds standing it up because you're just grinding out of that position, how much less energy are you going to have to do the jerk? And let's say that's an 80% lift for you. Let's say 100 kilos is an 80% lift. And then you have to go up like 10 more kilos, but you're still grinding those squats out. Like, it's just going to get that much incrementally harder. Like that 10% increase. So now you're at 110 kilos. You know, that squat to stand it up is just going to be so much more difficult. So like, you want to practice training your squat, standing it up as fast as you can. So that means you can't get out of position. That means that you can't have sloppy or lazy technique, and grinding it out, that low gear isn't really as important in weightlifting as it is in maybe powerlifting. Like powerlifting, like, you don't have to be very dynamic. It can just be that slow gear, grind up the hill. As long as you stand it up and lock it out, you know, that's fine. But in weightlifting, you get into a clean, you want to be out of that bottom position as fast as you can and into the rack and ready for the jerk. Like, you don't want to sit there for 5 seconds grinding out a clean and then try to make a jerk afterward. It's just going to be disadvantageous. Your chances of making the jerk go down percentage-wise by every second that you have it on your shoulders.
And I think that's where, you know, people kind of misplace some of their energy sometimes, because if they're thinking, oh, well, I just need to get my squat up, but they're not looking at how they're doing it or the speed at which they're doing it. And they're just trying to, you know, so maybe they spend 5 years just trying to get their squat to 600 pounds, but then they've kind of neglected all of the speed and timing things. The amount of investment that you're putting into just purely driving up the weight on your squat isn't necessarily going to be the same as an increase in your lifts. Because I think, just anecdotally on our team, we've kind of run similar squat and lift programs a few times. We'll repeat cycles that throughout the year that have netted positive results in the past. And occasionally you'll see a person where maybe the first time they ran that program, they did not see like a huge increase on their squat. But right afterward, they run that second program again, and they're repeating percentages that they've done before, but now they're moving them faster.
Yeah.
And then they hit a PR in their lifts, but maybe the squat hasn't gone up, but just the way that they're squatting goes up, the way that they're handling the weights is getting better.
Yeah.
So unfortunately, sometimes, you know, an increase in your squatting strength doesn't always come with an increase in your lifts, and an increase in your lifts doesn't always come with an increase in your squatting strength. Sometimes it has a lot to do with the timing.
Right.
And, you know, if you're standing your weights up at half the speed as when you did that weight before. So I think that, you know, it kind of comes back to where we talked about in the past, thinking about training as practicing certain weights. I think that, you know, it can't just be, I need to get my squat up to this. It needs to be, I need to get my squat like this up to that.
Right.
And if you're thinking of it as, okay, last time I practiced a 160 kilo squat, it was really hard, so I'm going to make it look really easy today, and you make it a lot faster, you maintain position better, I think that that's still a net improvement, but it doesn't necessarily look like one on paper.
Yeah. Because you're not changing any numbers, you're not rearranging anything as far as like PRs go, but if you can stand up the same squat faster on the second go around, that's an improvement. Like, I'd rather see people stand up faster out of a squat weight that they've already hit than to try to grind out like a one more kilo. Like, so if we go back to that 100 kilos, like if your back squat is 100 and last time it took you 5 seconds to stand it up and you got stuck halfway through the middle and then you just grinded it the rest of the way out, but next time you do a 100 kilo squat, you just, it looks like an air squat. That's a huge improvement, even though you may have not, you know, gotten a numerical PR. I think that's like a huge improvement in what you were able to do before, because that means your leg strength, the speed that you're able to stand up out of it, keep position and maintain balance and posture have gone up. So that's a PR to me.
Yeah. And I think that, again, like we said, this all kind of depends, and it's, you know, you can't never touch a weight that's close to failure.
Yeah.
Because then you're never really sure where you should be working, and you're never really kind of really pushing all out intensity. But I think that those all out near failure intensities for squats and deadlifts should be fairly sparse throughout the training year. I don't think that you need to be grinding squats weekly.
Yeah.
It may be that, you know, the 3 or 4 times a year that you test for singles, you let yourself go up to the point that maybe you miss one or you, you know, grind one out.
Yeah.
But I think that what's really important is making the heaviest weight that you can do with good quality go up.
Right.
But again, it's really hard because at the end of the day, the strongest guy wins. So it's weird because I'm obsessed with technique. I love making the technique better.
Yeah.
But technique doesn't win competitions. So it's very hard to kind of determine like when somebody's at a place that you can say, this is pretty good and we just need to get stronger. And I don't know. I think that, you know, because you have to learn to fight with weights. You have to learn to do really difficult stuff, and strength takes a long time to develop. So if you're slacking on pushing it,
yeah,
it's going to take you forever to get to the end of the road that you want to be at, because we don't have indefinite time to keep getting stronger.
Right.
Well, so it's really hard to find that balance.
That's the thing, is like that's the dichotomy of weightlifting, and I think that I'm probably gonna write an article about this pretty soon here, but like there are a lot of dichotomies in weightlifting. And one of them is like strength and technique. There has to be a balance. You can't be too strong without good technique, and you can't be technically sound and not be strong. Like, you have to have a balance in between. It's like, and another thing is you have to be aggressive but not reckless. You have to be, you know, mentally tough but know when to step back. You know, you have to, there's a lot of lines that we have to stand on both sides of to be a great weightlifter. You have to know, like, when is the proper amount of recovery and when you're just being lazy. You know, so like there's a lot of places that you could end up, but as far as like strength and technique wise, I'm with you, Grayson, on technique. Like I think that the quality of movement and the positions that people are able to maintain, for me, are at the bottom of the pyramid. Like you have to be able to move well and be in the right position, and that's where it all starts, because you can build from there. You can't build, yeah, you can be, you know, strong, you can chuck a bale of hay into a truck, but that doesn't necessarily mean that you can do 100 kilo clean.
Yeah, but do you think that, you know, it ever gets, like, this is where I kind of struggle, is that, do you think that there's ever a point where somebody's too strong? Or do you think that it's not that they're too strong, it's just that they're not good enough at the lifts? Because, like, I don't know if there's ever such thing as, like, you've got too much strength, it's just you're lacking development in other areas. So it's not that you're too strong, it's just that you're not mobile enough,
yeah,
or you're not comfortable in your positions.
No, I don't think that you can ever be too strong. But I do think that you can be strong with limiting factors, you know, things that aren't ideal position-wise and mobility-wise. Because, like, you could take somebody that can curl, you know, 300 pounds, but that doesn't necessarily mean that they're going to have a great-looking clean. They might be able to pull it off. But it's going to be, yeah, it's going to be real, real bad. Like, and that doesn't necessarily say much about, like, strength wise the strongest person wins, yes, but the strongest person also usually has pretty good technique, so like they go hand in hand. It's hard to say that one can exist without the other. It's hard to, in weightlifting, like, both are required, and you can have inoptimal things in the technique portion but still be strong, so you can get away with some stuff. But I think that overall they go hand in hand. Like, you really, it's hard to have one without the other, or, you know, it's hard to express one without the other.
Yeah, and I think like squats to cleans is probably the best example of this, where especially if, you know, you're squatting to just below parallel but trying to catch cleans at rock bottom.
Yeah.
You've never really spent time strengthening the true bottom position. So I think that, you know, if you're in the camp, right, where there's a handful of people that are definitely in this camp, where you've got huge strength numbers, but your lifts are very unstable at the bottom, I think for those sort of people, doing lots of pause squats where you're hanging out at the bottom and you're really building strength and comfort at the bottom position. Because if you have a great just below parallel squat, that's awesome. You've got a good amount of leg strength built up.
Yeah.
But now you just need to extend the range that you can display that strength. And I think that, you know, that's why I don't like the idea that, you know, the depth of the squat is the hip crease below the knee. Because that's not low enough for our purposes.
Yeah.
You know, that's low enough for your CrossFit class or your powerlifting meet.
Sure.
And if, you know, that's the sport and that's what you're doing, yeah, of course you don't want to go rock bottom for every single wall ball you do in a workout, because that's just wasting a lot of energy. But I think that if you're transitioning to weightlifting and you're cutting your squats a little bit high just so you can lift more weight, you're kind of missing... you're missing some of that valuable territory that's going to lead to an increase in your lifts.
Yeah.
And that's why, you know, we always talk about going, you know, hamstring to calf or deepest possible position.
Yeah.
Because, yeah, it's easy to think, you know, oh, the strongest guy wins, so I just need to get my legs stronger. And if that means that I'm doing a just below parallel squat, then okay, I put 10 kilos on my squat. Why didn't my lifts go up? And it's like, well, you haven't been front squatting to full depth. And so you're going to kind of borderline power most things. And that's just, the lower you can get and be more comfortable, the heavier weights you're going to lift, because you're going to be able to catch them lower.
Yeah. Well, I think it goes back to the idea that practice makes permanent. You know, the way that you practice and the weights that you practice become a permanent part of how you execute them. And if you're, it goes back to, if you're just grinding out things and you're taking, you know, a long time to stand up out of the squat, or you're not getting the full depth on the squats, you're going to resort to those positions when it gets really hard, and you're going to end up powering, or you'll miss a lift, or you'll get spit out of a clean. And so you have to be able to get into the full range of motion and be strong in those positions just as well as, you know, the bottom as it is through that sticking point in the middle. So, I don't know. I just, it all goes hand in hand. It's really hard to separate one from the other. I do think strength matters a lot, obviously, because it's a strength sport. But it's just technique. Like for me, I think technique is, it matters how well you execute it just as much as what's on the bar.
Yeah, it's definitely varied and individual based on the person, because, you know, you've been weightlifting for 6 months and your squat hasn't gone up in 6 months, you're not doing enough strength work.
Yeah.
Your squat should be going up. Your deadlift should be going up. Your strength exercises should be moving in a general trend upwards. That has to happen. Otherwise, you're just never going to reach the places that you want to go. But you also, so you can't spend all of your time doing technique, because a lot of times errors in technique are errors in muscular balance. So if somebody deadlifts 100 more kilos than they squat, their pull's going to look wrong, because they're not going to have the leg strength to stay over the bar correctly from the knees. They're always going to pull back and shift to the strongest position.
Yeah.
So, you know, it matters the ratio as well. So, like, if, you know, you're able to squat a ton more than you, and your deadlift is really weak, then you're going to have a problem in your pull, because you're going to be trying to get into more squatting shapes than you are deadlifting shapes. So I think it's really important to have muscular balance too.
Do you think, so what causes the disparity of when, like, somebody has a really strong squat or a really strong deadlift and pull, but they're just not willing to get under the bar? Like, so, like, let's say somebody can clean pull 160 pounds or back squat 180 pounds, but they're not willing to get under an 80 kilo, like, clean. So, like, you know you have enough strength. Like, what causes the disparity for those people? Because, like, you know you're strong enough. Your legs are strong enough. There's no disparity. Like, what causes the people to, like... So, even with some of our lifters, like, if our lifter back squats 250 kilos, but isn't willing to get under, like, a 140 kilo clean... Like, what is that, like, where's that disconnect?
I think that it's got to be at least a couple of different factors. First, I think that a lot of it has to do with just looking at, like, the time that people have been training. Because a lot of times, you know, people who are naturally very strong, their squats will go up pretty quickly, mm-hmm. and they'll be squatting, you know, 190 pretty regularly, and still struggling to get, you know, the 130, 140 clean and jerks down. And I think that a lot of that has to just do with how long you've been learning the technique and how comfortable you are with the rhythm and learning to be okay with things feeling heavy in certain positions. I think that has a lot to do with it. Just your because if you've only been lifting for 2 years, unfortunately, you still just don't understand the lifts that well.
Right.
It takes a really long time to really understand what that flow feels like, what that rhythm is. And you can conceptually get it and understand what you have to do, but I think that sometimes it just takes time to know how to feel it rather than just understand what you're supposed to be doing.
Right.
So I think that, you know, consistency and practice of, you know, lifting near maximal weights with good technique and then just creeping those up over time. And then some of it has to do with, you know, it's just scary to put a new weight on the bar for the first time.
Sure.
So it's going to take you time to, you know, okay, well, 150 feels a lot different than 140. And where is my timing and where is my position with this? And kind of getting yourself familiarized with that weight. So, I think that has to be a lot of it.
So I guess my thoughts are, just because you're strong doesn't mean you're fearless.
Yeah.
And so, like, you... I don't know if you can teach people fearlessness or aggressiveness, but just because you can squat 200 kilos doesn't necessarily mean that, you know, you're automatically going to be able to get under whatever weight.
It just means you have a higher potential.
Yeah. It just means that your potential to stand that weight up once you do get under it is higher. So, like, there's still a mental aspect to it as well. So, like, it's not just strength. It's not just technique. There's also, like, a third aspect that connects it all together. And that's, like, mental toughness and willingness to get under that weight. And to be honest, weightlifters are kind of insane. Like, you have to be. Like, I nearly cleaned. I did clean 115 kilos yesterday. And I'm not going to say that I wasn't, like, hesitant about it, but, like, it's more than I've ever cleaned before, and I don't know what drives me to get under the barbell, but, I mean, I make it happen, and that's only 8 more kilos than I've ever front squatted before. Yeah. So I've only front squatted 8 more kilos than I've cleaned at this point, so I haven't tested my front squat, but, like, that's... There's also another aspect to strength that's mental, not just like what you're physically capable of. It's what you're mentally capable of as well.
Yeah, and I think that a lot of times when you see people that are really kind of crazy and get under things that don't look like they have any business going under them.
Yeah,
I think that. Some of that has to be like an internal drive of, it's not, I hope I can lift this weight. It's, I'm going to, or I need to. Like, there's that like inner voice that's just saying like, you, of course you have to do this.
Yeah.
You've got to get stronger. You got to get it.
Right. This is the next step in strength.
And I think that you can definitely cultivate those sort of things with, framing and paying attention to, you know, your thoughts. And if you go up and you're really hesitant about lifting the weight or something goes wrong, trying to be really quick with saying, all right, what was the last thought I had? Yeah. What was the intrusion into my headspace that caused this hiccup? And then, you know, it's kind of like what we talked about with meditation before, where you kind of like acknowledge thoughts as they come. But if you let them stick around too long and you stay on them, so if you're having, you know, some moment of hesitation, just try taking some deep breaths and just pushing that stuff out and going again.
Yeah.
And I think that's something you can definitely develop. But I think that some people are just crazy. Like, some people will just go under stuff even if it looks like it's going to kill them. Yeah. And they don't care if it's bad. They just want to lift the weight.
Right.
And unfortunately, you know, you sometimes see lifters with poor technique and inadequate strength who are nuts and willing to go under things and really like just like crush themselves to death every training session.
I'm not going
to
mention any names like John Orth or anything like that.
but sometimes you kind of have the other end where, you know, you have lifters that are very measured and consistent, but are just a little bit less, they're just a little bit more reserved.
Or they're too conservative.
Yeah, but sometimes that works out for them, because if you're kind of staying within your means, and I think you just got to kind of find the training mindset that works best for you, because I think there's a big spectrum of, you know, how you can think about training. One of the big things for, you know, getting yourself to go underneath things for us has been talking about, we use a matrix analogy, you know, that there is no spoon. And, you know, really focusing on not caring about what weight is on the bar, but just executing the movement pattern. Yeah. And that for me has been really beneficial for just being more aggressive with my weights, because at the end of the day, you know, 195 nothing's really different about those two as far as how you're going to execute the lift. So if you try to not worry about what the weight on the bar is, but you just try to execute it the same way that you know, like you trust, you rely on your technique, you trust your ability to move into the positions that you need.
Yeah.
And I think that it requires a certain amount of like thoughtlessness where you just kind of have to be able to go on autopilot.
Yeah.
And that's where, you know, developing your setup and how you approach the bar and trying to make that consistent is really important, because if you have kind of a pre-launch sequence where it's right hand, left hand, squat down, two breaths, hips up, hips down, go.
Yeah.
If you kind of have that routine set, it makes it easier to get in the right headspace to do it, because you associate that setup. It's the same way you set it up from 40 kilos yeah. up to 100 kilos,
yeah.
and you do the same setup every time. And the more you can kind of learn that, a lot, in large part, yeah, I mean, strength is obvious. If you're not strong enough to lift something, it's not gonna, yeah. it's not going to go up. But if it's one more kilo or like 5 kilos when you've got some reserve leg strength that we talked about, the difference is negligible enough that if you just don't change anything, because a lot of times I think misses come from this is thinking I put more weight on the bar, I have to go harder,
yeah,
or I have to do this,
right?
And learning the lesson of nope, it's the same. Every clean and jerk is the same clean and jerk. There's just a little bit of a different timing or yeah. a different load, but not focusing on the things that are different lift to lift, but focusing on the things that are the same,
right,
is really helpful for me kind of staying in my groove and trusting my technique a little bit more.
Yeah. I think it's like that with squats too. Like sometimes people are hesitant to squat a certain weight and go for PRs and things like that. And that goes for front squats and back squats. But that, I think that grindiness and sometimes getting stuck comes from a hesitancy to push through at a good speed.
Absolutely.
And so they don't come up to the barbell with the mindset of like, oh, I'm going to do this as fast as I can. They're just saying, oh, this is the heavy lift. Like this is,
I hope 95. I hit it.
Yeah. I hope I hit it. This is 95% of my max or whatever else people tell themselves. Like they don't step up to the bar and say, I'm going to do this as fast as I can in the right positions. And so like that, it's not just getting under the bar. It's being under the bar or pulling on the bar. The same thing. Like if you're doing a deadlift, a heavy deadlift, like that first couple inches is like, oh, this is not going to come off the ground. And then next thing you know, they gave up on the lift like a little prematurely. So it's kind of the same thing where like you just have to, give it your best every time. Like,
and you can see the hesitancy with squats, especially I think when you watch people attempt a new weight,
mm-hmm.
a lot of times they try to descend super slowly.
Yeah. Yeah.
And you can tell that they're just kind of unsure as they go down. And I think that
they're afraid to get stuck in the bottom and pin. And then that's exactly what happens. It becomes a self-fulfilling prophecy.
Yeah, because if you're not going fast enough to catch a good bounce, then you're not going to be in the right position to come out.
Right.
And I think that, you know, you can even see it with how people unrack things sometimes. You know, if you're a little scared of the weight, you're going to squeeze it off the rack and like think, oh man, this is heavy, and kind of take a couple steps back, and you can just see it in their face that they're worried.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that it's okay to be intimidated by weights, but you can't let the weights know that you're intimidated. You gotta like, it's one of those things that, you know, fake it till you make it.
Right.
Where, you know, every time you take the bar in your hands, you need to be, you know, peacocking a little bit. Like you need to walk up to the bar like you're definitely going to make it and that you're super sure in yourself.
Yeah.
And if you miss, you have to be able to shake it off and be like, well, that was a fluke because I'm better than that.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Like if you need to look at misses as, oh, I goofed that one, rather than, oh my God, something's wrong.
Yeah,
I can't make the next lift.
Or it's just like, oh, I was just a little bit out of position. It's not like, oh, I suck, I'm terrible at weightlifting. It's like, oh, that one was just a little bit out of position.
So yeah, like give yourself permission to make mistakes and yeah. that it doesn't affect what you're going to do next.
Yeah.
And we were kind of talking about that this morning with a few people at the gym of was it American Open, I think, where we had a handful of people jump and Robin had to kind of rush her warm up a little bit, and she missed her last warm up weight in the back, and we didn't have time to take it again. And she had to go out and make a lift on the platform that was heavier than the one she just missed.
Right.
And if you don't have that, I just goofed it. Like, I could have made that. It was just a little bit off.
It's fine.
And if you don't kind of give yourself permission for that, if you walk out onto that platform thinking about the miss that you just had, you're already in the wrong headspace to make a successful attempt.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, I think that, you know, mentality has to be a part of successful testing, and I think that's something that I really struggle with, because I've always been much better at reps extremely close to my max, and I think it's just because I'm trying to learn to have more intensity and less kind of a timid approach to the weights that I'm squatting, because at the time, this was a couple of years back, but there was a period where I did like 140 kilos for 10 reps. And a couple weeks later, failed a single at 155. And I think that in large part, that was just due to, in my head, thinking that it was a heavier lift, because the capacity was clearly there.
Yeah.
And it's just, if you change your approach to how aggressive you're being, you can make things that seem hard a lot easier just by changing the intensity with which you're approaching it.
Yeah.
And changing, you know, your the way that you talk to yourself. So
absolutely.
If you're kind of plateaued at a certain weight but you know, say you've done three training cycles, and the first training cycle you did that 100 kilo squat and your best triple during the cycle was 80. And then you repeat the training cycle and your best triple was 85, but you still only did 100. And you repeat it again and your best triple was 92 and you still only got 100. The error isn't that you're not getting stronger. It's that you're not very good at doing one rep at a time. You're not very good at maxing out yet.
Yeah.
And I think that it definitely does take skill to do heavy singles. And that skill kind of is two parts. One, it's just accepting the fact that things are going to feel heavy today because you're lifting to max. But it's also not beating yourself up over a miss in that situation, because it's just like, you know, if it's just counterproductive. If snatches didn't go the way you wanted because you moved 17 platforms into a new facility yesterday.
Yeah.
You know, it's saying, well, considering that's it, so I'll do this instead, you know, or, you know, not letting the results in the snatch affect your results in the clean and jerk, and not letting the results in the clean and jerk affect your attitude towards your squats. And every exercise is a new start. Yeah. You know, you can, if you need to trick yourself, or, you know, you're having a bad day where you realize, like, halfway through your warm up, you're just in a bad headspace and you're kind of making a lot of mistakes. Sometimes take your shoes off, go outside, walk back in, and pretend that you just got there and do it again.
Yeah,
you know, like, kind of hitting the reset button sometimes can be really helpful. And I think we've strayed pretty far.
A little bit, but it's okay. And I think that covers pretty much what we wanted to talk about. And
so yeah,
That's it. So we definitely have been pretty busy. We've just moved to a new facility. It's in the same building complex. It's just a unit over, but it's more space. We got more usable space out of it. We added a few more platforms.
Wait, now a total of 10.
Yeah. So
it's exciting.
We would definitely love to come have you lift with us. And if you haven't already, check out AlbuquerqueStrengthAcademy.com for our blogs and some more of our podcasts. But you should just definitely come by and see us. If you're going to be here for AO2, just give us a shout out. And, you know, if you need any help, we'll try to see if we can help you. But we already have like 24 people qualified and a few other that just need some help. So, and if you haven't signed up, go ahead and sign up already.
Yeah, that late fee close. Is going to be really expensive for
getting
sure.
Close. But if you have any questions, you can DM us on Instagram at Albuquerque Strength Academy. And you can also just contact us through the website. Anything else, Grayson?
No, I think that'll cover it for today, guys. Strength is important, but don't neglect your technique. And Have a good week of lifting.
All right. Lift with no regrets, y'all.